14 was tending the flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in an old age. And he made a richly ornamented robe for him, and when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose up and stood up upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really was for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard? Ephesians 1:13-14. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit, guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are in God's possession to the praise of His glory. Now, these are some of the things, you know, and there's way more stuff in here. There's way more stuff in here that's possible. But Philippians 2:14. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may be blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Did you guys ever do everything without complaining? Well, it says to do everything without complaining. So God would not give us a command. He would not give us a command without giving us what we need. And what we need is the Holy Spirit. So when He asks us to do everything without complaining, He means through the Holy Spirit, do everything without complaining. Because we tend to complain. One more. Maybe two. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. Right? But with prayer and hissing behind me. So I look back, and hydraulic oil is pouring out of the elbow. And at that point, my thought is what do I do? Well, at that point is you get your arm back in the cradle so you can drive to get it fixed somewhere. Otherwise, somebody has to come out and fix it. So luckily, I mean, I'm sitting there working the handles, right? I'm working the handles, and my boom's going really slow. And I'm like, I got to get this thing in the cradle. But hydraulic oil is pouring out. I mean, I think I lost 7 gallons of hydraulic oil. I mean, it's coming out that fast. Luckily, God let me get it in the cradle. And this was a job that we had to get done for a lady, and it was a bigger job. And I had just started water blasting. This is the start of the job. And I got 5 weeks to work yet in my season, and then this happens. Because at that point, I'm dead in the water. I got nothing. I had to get my aerial in the truck, drive down. I'm in Clintonville, drive down to Deerfield, leave it there. The guy can fix it. Picked it up in 2 days and drove back up. And at that point, you could be complaining, right? It's like, God, what are you doing to me? I just want to work. I just want to work. I want to do what you say to work. It happens. It happens. But did God provide for us that day? Yeah. My brother was still working. My brother, his son John was still working. We got work done that day. Not as much work as we would want. Lots of things happen on the farm, on the job site. But he did provide. And so, do I complain all the way down to Deerfield? Or do I say, thank you, Lord, for what you have let us get done today? So, you choose. I choose to thank God. When something happened, you know, my mom has dealt with, you know, being my dad being out on the crew every day. And, you know, as long as nobody gets hurt, we're okay. We're okay. So God provides when we don't know that he's working. So this story uses jealousy, man's pride, the people who have no interest in God, the Ishmaelites. Okay, they probably don't have any interest in God. He used a two-timing housewife, Potiphar. He used dreams, and he used dreams in the form of the cupbearer, the baker, and Pharaoh, and he used a famine. And, you know, he probably used a lot more things that I couldn't see, but he used at least those things to tell this story of how he provides even when we can't see it. One of the reasons I like this story is you can see Jesus in Joseph. Somebody said once that Joseph is the most like Christ of any character in the Bible. Jesus was like Joseph in the fact that he was rejected by his brothers. They sold him into slavery. And in John, in chapter 1, the book of John tells us that Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. We'll see that Joseph showed his brothers grace instead of judgment. That's another way he's like Jesus. Jesus gives us grace instead of judgment. And this is, Jesus was 30 years old when he entered his ministry. And Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh. So the start of the saving of many lives was both when they were 30 years old. Okay, now to the story. These verses that I'm going to just mention are all in Genesis 37 through 50. So I'm just going to say numbers. I'm not going to say Genesis each time. Okay, so in Genesis, or in 37:3, we learn that Israel loved Joseph more than the others. And so, what is their first thought? What's the brother's first thought? They're jealous, right? Well, let's just kill him. How do you get to the spot? They are a fallen bunch. How do you get to the spot where you just say, well, let's just kill our brother? And Judah being the, you know, probably the business just ask you a question. Do any of us prosper without the Lord? It says that Joseph prospered because the Lord was with him. Do Scott and Lana can put seeds in the ground all day. If they don't get any rain, are they going to grow? Anything, we live in a farming community. We all understand that we need God to act in order to prosper us. And I think our jobs are no different. Do any of us prosper without the Lord? And so when we are prospering, what do we do? Do we think it's because of what we're doing? Or do we think it's because of what God is doing? See, I tend to think it's because of what God is doing. And so if you can get to that point, you'll be more thankful. Man, a lot of times when we get a chance to pray before we eat, a lot of times I'll say, I don't take it for granted that we get to eat food today. Because without Christ, without God, what do we have? So the guy could tell that the Lord was with him. This is Potiphar. 39:6. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Okay? So as you can imagine, the Bible tells us that Joseph is well built and handsome. So you can imagine a woman taking notice of that, and it was Potiphar's wife. This Potiphar is the captain of the guard. Okay, he's an official of Pharaoh. And she throws himself at him, okay, and he runs out of the room. And actually, she grabs out and pulls his clothes off. But when we're tempted by sin, what should we do? Run. That's what we should do. We should run. I wish I could be like Joseph all the time. But he runs, okay? And then, so what happens? Do you guys know the story? So the lady lies and tells, you know, that this guy's trying to make sport of me, you know? And so he gets put in prison. So God let Joseph go to prison. And what does he do there? Well, he uses a cupbaker and the cupbearer. Sorry about that. The cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh, they both had dreams. Okay, they both had dreams, and Joseph interpreted the dreams the right way. Okay, so God used Joseph. He had him go to prison. He had him go to prison, but while he was in prison, okay, the story just keeps on going. God is working, even though he's in prison. So he interprets these dreams in the right way. And then so Pharaoh has a dream a little bit later. Pharaoh has a dream. He says, is there anybody in the land that can interpret this dream? And they said, well, there's a guy down in jail. He can do it. Okay? And Joseph answers the right way. He says, I cannot do it, but God will give Pharaoh the interpretation that he desires. Okay, and so I don't know if you guys were maybe a little bit young, but I think Logan was in Sunday school when we actually went over all that story. So Pharaoh has a dream where 7 fat, good-looking cows are in his dream, and then up out of the Nile come 7 skinny. Norse probably knows what. You know, some cows are better than others. Maybe Scott, I don't, but these 7 skinny cows came and ate up the fat cows, okay? And the skinny cows didn't look any better after they ate them, okay? So that's what happened, and Joseph says, well, this 7 years of famine happened, so there was food. So Joseph's brothers came to Egypt to buy food, and they didn't recognize Joseph because he was in, you know, whatever they wear back in the day, and they couldn't tell who he was. But he knew who they were. And guys, you should read this story for yourself. There's way more stuff that's happening, and you should read it for your homework. Okay? Okay, now I'm going to skip ahead a little bit and get to the end. So in review, Joseph's brothers were jealous of him, and they plotted to kill him. They ended up selling Joseph to the Ishmaelites who were traveling to Egypt. Joseph ends up in charge of all Egypt through God giving him interpretations of Pharaoh's dreams. You see, the brothers, they wanted to kill him, but then they just sold him because they said, well, we might as well get some money. What did they deserve? What did those brothers deserve? They deserved punishment. They deserved judgment. And if I was Joseph, I don't know if I could have been that big of a man to do that, but he gave them grace. What is grace? Grace is undeserved, unmerited favor of God. They deserved death. What did they actually get? When they went to buy grain at Egypt, what did Joseph say? You guys should come and live in where? Does anybody know where? Goshen. What was Goshen? The best land. Goshen was the best land in the area. So they deserved punishment, but they got the best. And Pharaoh even said it. Pharaoh said, bring your family, bring, and Pharaoh sent carts down to Canaan, where they were, where Israel's family was, and said, bring everybody, and don't bring a thing. Don't bring a thing with you, because you're going to have the best of what Egypt has to offer. We're in 45 now. 45. Listen to Joseph. And, you know, Joseph prospered in all he did because the Lord was with him. Well, certainly the Lord had to be with him when he said some of these things. 45 verse 4. Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. See, they could hardly say a kind word to him. They could hardly say a kind word to him because they hated him. And yet he's saying, come close to me. That is God working. This is how we see Jesus in Joseph. 45:5. 45:5. And now do not be distressed. See, Jesus knows exactly where we fall short. God knows exactly where we fall short, and he tells us not to be distressed. But he says, come to me and I'll take care of you. See, this is how Joseph is like Jesus. Don't be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And for 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be plowing or reaping. But God has sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. There was a great deliverance that happened on the cross. There was a great deliverance that happened on the cross, and without that cross, guys, we are doomed. We have nothing to look forward to but death. But there was a great deliverance. Just as Joseph came to save lives. See, the brothers thought they were just making decisions and living life. But God was working to provide a way to save lives. And that's what Christ did for us. So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. I just said that. I still am. See, sinners cry.